Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Certainly, this is not the show that I looked forward to doing after my time off. We're dealing with the deaths of two extremely important people in the world of professional wrestling. Of course, we had the death of the legendary Terry Funk, who was a man who loved wrestling so much that even into his 60s, mid-60s, he was still participating. He participated right up until the day he could no longer actually participate. And he did it with such a zest and a zeal. You know, we had talked about Terry Funk. Before I left on vacation, ironically enough, we talked about Terry Funk. And we said that if there was ever an ECW reunion, certainly Terry Funk would have to be there because Terry Funk was an integral part of helping those guys gain the credibility they needed to get to the next level. Terry Funk was someone who understood very, very much the psychology of old school professional wrestling. The understanding of how to twist people into believing something was happening that was real when it wasn't. That was a very hard thing to do, by the way, and it's still an extremely hard thing to do. It's an extremely hard thing to do to come out in front of an audience who clearly understands that what they're watching is a performance and scripted. And for that few minutes, really make them think, yeah, but I don't know if this is scripted. I think he's went off script here. I think he's out of control. Terry Funk could do that on a regular basis, even to the most knowledgeable wrestling fans. I recall sitting in an arena in New York here where he was on an indie show, and the idea behind it was he was basically just there to sign autographs. And I believe it was Cactus Jack or Mick Foley against Jerry Lawler was the main match. And Terry Funk came out of nowhere and literally hit security guards, threw things into the audience, jumped into the ring, called, more security out, was called to try to get him out. And legitimately, there was a moment or two when I said, I'm not 100% sure that this was supposed to happen. It doesn't look like it was scripted because it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. Something doesn't seem right. And I was amazed, you know, at how easily he could do that. And then, you know, you snap back and you say, no, this is part of the show, but he was able to do that on a regular basis. He was a very, very underrated wrestler. In his later years, I know he did a lot of hardcore and he did a lot of other things, but go back in the early days of Terry Funk and watch an extremely, extremely underrated actual wrestler. And very good actor, by the way, in several movies. A few of my favorite movies has Terry Funk in it. What can you really say? I believe he was about 80 years old. I understand that, you know, that's getting up there in age, especially to a guy who, you know, treated his body like Terry Funk did. But it was terribly tragic. And it's certainly a huge, huge loss to the wrestling world. No one lives forever, but there are guys like Terry Funk who sometimes make you feel like they could. So he will be deeply missed, obviously. The second one devastated me even more because not only is the man 36 years old, but it seemed to come out of nowhere. I had heard reports that Wyndham Rotunda had suffered what they called a career-threatening and life-threatening illness. And I'd speculated on this show, I don't want to say COVID because they're not really usually hiding that anymore if that happens. But I can't think of anything else other than sepsis, which was the other thing I said. Well, it turns out apparently it was indeed COVID, that he had gotten a bout of COVID, that according to what I'm reading, exacerbated a pre-existing heart condition. Here's the thing. If there was a pre-existing heart condition prior to the COVID, I don't know how WWE missed it because they go through rigorous physical examination to make sure that they are able to wrestle. The last word I had was that he was recovering very well, and he was actually, talking about what was going to be happening. WWE obviously thought that because they have scrapped all kinds of plans. They're literally scrambling. So there was a lot of plans centered around Bray Wyatt, a lot of them. And I don't want to make this show in any way, shape, or form political, nor do I want to make it, speculative or a way for me to, you know, use this tragic incident to espouse any of my own beliefs, but I have to bring this up. Bray Wyatt was vaccinated. He had to be. Can't travel abroad unless you're vaccinated. He traveled abroad. And how many times have we seen this? Where athletes, young athletes, who are vaccinated, end up with a heart condition that leads to a blood clot that leads to a heart attack. How many times have we seen this? Soccer players, football players. And I can't help but wonder if this is the case. But much more importantly than that is that the world of professional wrestling is a lot less creative today with the loss of Bray Wyatt. Now, not everybody liked what he did. And that's fair. If it wasn't your cup of tea, I understand. But you do have to understand that in a world of people who all were vying for how great is my super kick, how good is my flip, how great is this move or that move, Bray Wyatt was a guy who was playing chess and said, how deep into the fans' minds can I get? How much can I make them care about the character? And he was a guy who understood very clearly that storytelling was the most important factor in professional wrestling. The most important factor. And the characters he created, Bray Wyatt, the cult leader, the Louisiana Bayou cult leader who had this bizarre family of unwashed miscreants who followed his every word like Charles Manson, the Funhouse host who talked to puppets and had a dark side hidden inside him, and even the Fiend, the alter ego, perhaps, of the Firefly Funhouse host, seemed to be an indestructible monster who just fed off hatred. Every one of those characters was special. And to me, at least, and my preferences in professional wrestling, much more entertaining and much more important than who has the best super kick. I think he brought a character that was dark but had moments of light. You see, it's very difficult to do that. The last person to successfully do that was The Undertaker. And in some ways, Bray Wyatt was very similar to The Undertaker, and I'll tell you why. If you put virtually anybody else in the role of The Undertaker, people would have pointed their fingers and laughed. They would have said, this is a horrible character. But let me get this straight. He's some kind of a zombie guy who's impervious to pain. And when the urn is raised by a guy named Paul Bearer, he pops back up. Explaining that. Sit down with a non-wrestling fan and say, okay, here's this character. He's called The Undertaker, and I think he's supposed to be a dead man, and he rises when this guy named Paul Bearer, who comes out with an urn, raises it up, and he's impervious to pain, and people would be like, what the hell are you watching? That sounds like something an 8-year-old would laugh at. But nobody was laughing, because he did it so well. And his ability to take the darkest possible character, the very personification of death itself, and make it appealing in a way that people actually saw beyond that into the person there and said, I like this guy. That's hard. That's very, very hard. Bray Wyatt did that. Bray Wyatt, even in his cult leader persona, pretty close to Charles Manson, who's labeled as a serial killer. He was a very dark and evil and mysterious guy who controlled the minds of people. And yet, for some reason, the audience loved him. The audience couldn't wait to hear that music. And when he returned as the host of the Firefly Funhouse, the audience couldn't wait for those segments where he literally talked to puppets. Try telling that to a non-wrestling fan. Say, okay, here's the deal. This guy hosts what looks like it's a kid's show where he talks to puppets. And the puppets talk back to him. But then he has this alter ego that's like a demon that just comes out of nowhere like the pits of hell and destroys people. And you'd say, oh, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard. I'm supposed to take that serious, right? This is wrestling. Well, what's that got to do with wrestling? And yet, he could do it, because that's how good he was at doing it. And when you see kids 8 years old wearing Fiend t-shirts, it's a tribute, and I'll tell you why. Because it means even children could see through the persona to see that this is someone who you didn't have to fear. This was someone who innately you liked. You just had a feeling. It was the same way with The Undertaker. You just had a feeling, I like this person. And I can't help, as I posted today, I cannot help but feel that this was a guy who created a character that was so multidimensional and had so many different branches to it you almost felt like the story would never end. It would just keep reinventing itself, and that this story would just go on eternally. And unfortunately, it's over. And it's very hard to accept the fact that we probably didn't see the best. It's very hard to accept the fact that we didn't see the conclusion of the story he wanted us so badly to see. That's probably the hardest thing for me. The hardest thing for me is the fact that the story got ruined, and I know that most of it probably wasn't his story, or it was the lack of time they were giving him to the story, and I wanted so badly to see what that story would be, and I know that sounds selfish, but that's how good he was at what he did. That I was looking forward to seeing them correct this story, put this story together, show us what it was supposed to be, and let the world say, whoa, I never saw that coming. And I think that's what would have happened. So I'm shocked, and I'm somewhat devastated by it, because I just don't see anyone that creative in wrestling right now. I don't see the next Bray Wyatt. I don't think there ever will be one. We compare The Undertaker to Bray Wyatt, but it's more like comparing Bray Wyatt to The Undertaker in the sense that he was able to play a character that most people wouldn't, but The Undertaker didn't create his character. Bray Wyatt did, and Bray Wyatt wrote for his character, and Bray Wyatt created all the visions that we saw, or most of them, and it's different. It's just different. And the mark of a great and creative mind is sometimes you things that don't work, and sometimes you create things that do. But you keep on creating. And you keep on throwing things up at the wall, saying, what about this? What about this? Because your creative juices flow. And eventually, you always find that pot of gold. You always find that one creative venture that you say, whoop, jackpot. Bray Wyatt had a lot more jackpots. A lot more. I'm going to let the panel say their piece, and then we'll get into talking about both Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt as a person and not necessarily a professional wrestler. Mike, that's a really devastating week in professional wrestling.
I mean, we were with Terry Funk. He's 80. He's lived a hard life. He's done a lot of stuff to his body. We've chronicled that. You know, we were going to expect it. I mean, it's just sad that they couldn't get this thing, this ECW reunion show, up and running before he passed. You know, up and ran before he passed. It's just sad. Okay, now as far as Bray Wyatt, you're right. I mean, his creativity, kind of, think about this. Where did the Lily thing come from? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. He created a thing for another wrestler that other wrestler really got over because it was so well written and it was so well thought up that it got over to the point of, well, at one point it actually helped kill Bray Wyatt because it basically took the gimmick that they were trying for Bray Wyatt away from him. But that whole Lily thing with Alexa Bliss came from Bray Wyatt, right? And that's the thing. That's how creative this guy was. And frankly, I think if he had lived, and you know, we'll get into what happened with the whole vaccine and all that stuff. I don't want to get into that. If he had lived, I guarantee you, I'm almost going to go say that, I guarantee you that once Alexa Bliss came back and whatever they had planned for, because I have a feeling that whatever they had planned for Nikki Cross would have dovetailed into the thing. And, of course, there were rumors about his brother coming back in, right?
Yes.
Bo Dallas coming back in. So we'll see. Since Bray has passed, those three people, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss when she comes back, basically has nothing to do. What are they going to do? And there's not a likelihood that they bring Bo Dallas back now.
Yeah, I think that's why they're saying, you know, they're scrambling to change plans and things, and I think they had counted on him being at Payback. I really do. I do want to mention one other thing before I go to Todd for his reaction, and that's this. I know that there are going to be people who say, well, Bray Wyatt was very hard to work with creatively. Let me explain something to you. When you are creative, when you create something, and you're passionate about it, it becomes your children. Okay, I'm a musician. I write songs, and I record songs in studios, okay? And I know that producers will say, I think you should change this and do that and change this lyric, and I don't like the way this sounds. Let's add this and let's add that. And at some point in time, you start to resent it, and you say, this is mine. It's not yours. I created this. Let me create it the way I want it to be. Not the way you want it to be, because then it's your creation. And the most creative people are very protective of their creations, and they don't want their creations ruined. Because what happens is it's like a massive game of telephone, and you say, I've created this. And then it goes to the next guy, writer, and he says, I added this and that. And the next writer says, and I took away this and that. And then the next writer says, and I added this, and I mixed that, and I've added this. And then the next writer adds his stuff and subtracts stuff. And by the time it gets to the air, you don't even recognize it. And then when they say, well, this didn't work, they look at you and say, hey, your creation sucked. And you're left saying, but this wasn't what it was. Everyone's changed it. And now that it doesn't work, I'm the guy getting the blame. So I know how that feels. And when you are super, super creative, you're very passionate about your creations, and you don't want it changed. So perhaps Bray Wyatt was one of those guys who said, look, if you accept an idea, accept it the way it is. It's one thing to reject it and say, we're not doing it at all. It's another thing to say, we're doing it, but we're putting it in the hands of four more writers who's changing it to the point where you won't even recognize it when it's done. That's totally different. So before anybody jumps on the he was hard to work with, all creative people are hard to work with because they value their creation. Show me the creative person that's easy to work with, and I'll show you someone who probably isn't that creative, and they're actually feeding off the creativity of other people. Todd, a very bad week in pro wrestling.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, early this week, we lost the legendary Funk, the hardcore legend. Like you and Mike said about Terry Funk, we all knew he was not doing well. And we all knew, by the looks of the recent pictures before he passed, he didn't look good in the wheelchair. And, you know, it's a tragic thing for a passing of a wrestling legend like Terry Funk. And like with Bray Wyatt, when he just passed last night, and when he died, he died too young to pass on. You know, it's a hard thing for a death of a wrestler or something.
You know, the best way to describe this, I'm very sad about the death of Terry Funk. Very sad. I feel like I'm more angry about the death of Bray Wyatt, because I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like this should not have happened. An athlete who's competed in 20-minute matches. Go, by the way, if you have never been in a professional wrestling ring, go try to do 20 minutes in a professional wrestling ring. I don't care who you are. Okay, I used to train people. And they'd come in and say, well, I played tennis, and I was in soccer. You know, I just got out of high school soccer, and my cardio is great, and, you know, I should have no problem. And in 2.5 minutes, they're sucking wind. They're blown completely the F up. It's not easy. It's not easy. I was the same way. I said the same thing. I said, I'm in great shape. When I first started training, I'm in perfect shape. I'll dust this. I know all the moves anyway, and I'll be ready to do this and that. And again, 2 minutes, I'm blown up. And I'm saying, how is this possible? There are guys here I consider, they don't look like they're in the kind of shape I'm in. How are they doing it? But they do. So I'm sorry, I don't buy that Bray Wyatt had heart issues prior to this illness. And I understand COVID is real. I've always said COVID is real, but I have a very big problem here because there's just too many stories now of athletes dropping dead in their prime after being double vaxxed or triple vaxxed or single vaxxed or whatever. I'm having a big issue with this. Because it seems like if you want to raise that question, everyone wants to shut you off and say, oh, you can't say that. Why can't I say that? It's true. So why can't I say that? Why can't I ask that question? Are we not allowed to ask the questions? Are you sure that the vax itself didn't have anything to do with this? Because we're seeing an inordinate amount of athletic people instead of the same thing, heart attack. Blood clot. And I guess I'm just, it sounds selfish, I understand. But I guess I'm angry because I'm going to miss what I think would have been so much fun and such creativity coming up. I was so much looking forward to Bray Wyatt's return because I'm saying, God, what the WWE needs now is just a little more creativity, someone who can push them over the top and say, we're really going to tell a story. We're really going to tell a story. The Uso storyline is coming to an end, sort of, starting to fade into the sunset, and we need someone who can come along and you can say, man, we're going to tell one. And I just think it would have been him. And when I think of all the things that for the next 10 years, we probably would have been gifted with from his creativity that we aren't now, there's an anger there that, at 36 years old, you should not pass away. At 36 years old, you should not have a massive heart attack when you're an athlete. So make of it what you will. But I do think there are questions surrounding this, Mike, that bear asking at least.
Right. And think about this. I mean, you may not, you look at Bray Wyatt and you don't see, athlete. You don't even see his brother. His brother is in. You look at his brother, you look at Bo Dallas, cardio and all that stuff. You don't see that because that's not his body type, right? I mean, think about this. I've watched the history of the AWA and basically Vern Gagne and stuff and how he used to train his wrestlers, right? And the way he used to, from what I understand, coming from Ric Flair himself, the way Vern Gagne used to do his wrestlers is he used to have his wrestlers test his wrestlers' cardio. He used to have his wrestlers pick up people, put them on their shoulders, and go up and down stairs with them, like a fireman would, right? That's what Vern Gagne. That's how he used to test the people's cardio. So, and obviously, Flair passed that test, but that's not my point. I mean, These guys are supposed to be in the peak physical condition. You may not think that these pro wrestlers are athletes, but a lot of them have come from different sports, right? Basketball, football, baseball, track and field in the case of Belair, you know, Bianca Belair, you know. Charlotte Flair is a great athlete. She didn't find cardio, you know. And she, a lot of these, I mean, back then, a lot of these people were having to take that shot, right? And
yes.
It's like a friend of mine has once told me, taking that shot is like playing Russian roulette. You may get away with it once, maybe twice, but at some point, when you pull that trigger, something else, the gun's going to fire and you're going to catch that bullet, right?
And see, the thing that we got to remember is these guys are all subject to, physicals constantly, blood pressure and heart rate and everything. You wouldn't catch that? You know, Keith Lee went through the same basic thing. He caught COVID. They said it did some kind of damage to his heart, but then it recovered. He recovered. He also was vaccinated. I don't know what to tell you. This isn't really a show about why he died. He passed. I understand. But I'm just saying that we really need, as a society, to think about this for a minute and ask ourselves, why so many? Did you see this 5 years ago? Did you see soccer players and football players and track and field athletes in their 20s dropping dead of a heart attack? The answer is no, you didn't. Now, I'm not saying Bray Wyatt was a track and field quality, you know, athlete, but what I am saying is he passed all the physicals he needed to pass. And I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he didn't have a pre-existing heart condition or he never would have been in the ring. This is why they let go Keith Lee, because they said, well, you had a heart condition. He said, correct, but the doctors have cleared me and they no longer think it's an issue, and they said, we don't want to take the chance. If they had thought that with Bray Wyatt, why were they still making plans for him? Because they didn't think that, because it wasn't there. But let's talk a little bit about the people behind this, because Terry Funk, first off, was a guy, as we said, who walked into an ECW locker room a bigger star than anybody in there by a lot. By a lot. And by everything I was told, even by the late New Jack, personally, said, we all felt he's going to come in here, steal our thunder, basically, be the big cheese. We're going to get buried underneath him. That's going to bring in more names, and we're going to be the We'll eventually be the punching bags of the Federation, not the stars. And he was wrong. Terry Funk came in and said, my job here is to make you guys credible. My job here is to make sure that I help create the future stars, not put myself over. And he did. Because Terry Funk understood this business inside and out. Terry Funk often presented himself as a wild, out-of-control, crazy cowboy who at the drop of a hat would just go nutso and try to choke you to death. He was an extraordinarily intelligent man who understood the psychology of wrestling as good or better than anyone. And he was able to walk that line between, we know this isn't on the level, but this sort of seems like it is, which is the highest compliment you can ever pay a professional wrestler. I'm telling you right now, that's the highest compliment. You can say all you want. Oh, he has a marvelous super kick. He has a marvelous 350-60 splash. Great. the greatest compliment you can pay someone is to say, I almost think that's real. I don't necessarily think he's kidding right now. I think maybe he's really mad. Maybe he's lost control of himself. Did something happen? Terry Funk was that guy. He knew how to work you even when you knew you were being worked. And that's amazing. That's an amazing gift. Absolutely amazing. As far as Bray Wyatt, I never met the man. I've seen him wrestle a few times. But I'll tell you what struck me about Bray Wyatt that will stick with me through the years. And that is, Bray Wyatt was doing a radio talk show. Forget the radio station. But he was doing it to promote WWE, obviously. And they blindsided him. They said, well, we hope you don't mind, but we decided to run a little contest. He didn't know about it. We decided to run a little contest about, like, who knows Bray Wyatt the best, and this kid won, and we're going to have him come in here, and we're going to ask him questions, and you can confirm or deny whether he's right about it, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Now, that's blindsiding someone, okay? Basically, that's saying we didn't ask your permission to do this. We didn't get your okay. We didn't tell you ahead of time before you came in that it was happening. And we're just springing this on you last minute. And here it is, too bad, right, if you don't like it. And I'm going to tell you right now that there are people in the WWE right now who would have said, yeah, I'm not into this. Guys, have fun. You blindsided me. You didn't tell me about this. I don't want to participate in this nonsense. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for you guys to, you know, have contests and everything. I'm here to promote something. And they would have walked. What did Bray Wyatt do? Not only did he say, okay, he seemed excited about it. He was like, well, that's great. Bring him in. It was a kid. And Bray Wyatt was so friendly and nice to this kid and laughing about how much he knew about him and genuinely happy. Genuinely happy. Visibly happy to see somebody who took that kind of an interest that he could literally answer questions correctly that were pretty hard and pretty personal questions about Bray Wyatt's career. And that speaks volumes. But if that's not enough, then all you have to do is look at social media today and all of the wrestlers. Big E, who's suffering through his own trials and tribulations, saying, you were the very first person to take me under your wing. Very first person to accept me. Rusev saying, I was his punching bag. The Undertaker told me, get in the ring and lay in a corner. When I was just training, and Bray Wyatt's going to practice some moves. He was Husky Harris at the time. He's going to practice a certain move on you over and over and over and over again. He said, that's the only time Bray Wyatt ever saw me until I finally ended up in NXT. And he instantly came over to me and said, I remember you. You did that spot with me when I was practicing such and such a move. And he said, it took such stress off me because I was told everybody here is going to be out for your job. Everybody here is going to be trying to cut your throat. Everybody here is going to be, you know, trying to get over on you. And he said it relieved so much of the tension to have somebody come over and say, I didn't expect anybody to remember me, much less Bray Wyatt. And time and time and time again, you will see over and over and over again the people he worked with saying the same thing. Never too busy to give some advice or just tell a joke. Didn't matter whether you were the WWE champion or the janitor. He gave you the same amount of time and laughed and included you in conversations. And that's not everybody, folks. I wish it were everybody. I wish I could tell you that's everybody in the WWE, but it's not. It's not even the majority of them. So for such a dark character, I think it's ironic that it's such a dark character, the fans understood to light up those lighters like the fireflies. And there was that moment of light where you say there's just this mixture of darkness and light, right? Here comes the darkness and the fans bring the light. And it's an amazing thing when you can get fans to react like that. Not everybody can do it. Now, I'm not knocking anybody else when I say this, but I mean, if a song is catchy, you can get fans to go, whoa, whoa, at the right spot. Remember Robert Roode, right? He would come out and they'd all sing his song, Glorious, right? Didn't mean they were so super, super into him. It meant they were into the song. When you light up your lighters, and it's just an army of what he used to call the fireflies. Out of all the tributes, I think that perhaps Mustafa Ali said the correct thing when he ended his tribute to Bray Wyatt by saying, there were times in the WWE when he really did have the whole world in his hands. And I think that's accurate. He had every single WWE fan anticipating his next move. Everyone excited when the lights went out and the music hit. And that's not every performer can do that. So he had a very special gift, Mike, and it's one that I know I'm going to miss. I'm going to think about it often, too, and say, oh, too bad Bray Wyatt isn't. We could have done this with Bray Wyatt or that with Bray Wyatt. He's one of those forever say, I wonder if we could have or should have done that.
Right, and that's the thing. And his was bad about it. He had him and JoJo have a what? Three or four-year-old little girl.
He's got four children, yeah.
That she's not going to, yeah, and she's not going to get to know her dad even more than she already knows her, you know, because of this situation. And that's the thing. And this is a guy, I guess they record SmackDown, you know, beforehand, and they didn't know that this was going to happen. But it's easy to come back later and post and put, you know, a picture up. But I would love to have seen on SmackDown tonight them say to the audience, people, light up your phones in memory of Bray Wyatt.
It's going to happen anyway. Whether they tell him to do it or they don't tell him to do it, I can guarantee you that is going to happen. Yeah, I do want to mention this too. The WWE has said that from this point forward, any of the Bray Wyatt merchandise, which will continue to be sold on their site, all of the proceeds, every dime of the proceeds will go to his family. So I encourage people to go over there and take a look at the several Bray Wyatt merchandise things that they have and make a purchase, because I'm not going to sit here and tell you Bray Wyatt was hard up for money. Obviously he wasn't. But a family with four children at 36 years old, the father gone, it would be nice if what he created, and he did create it, would still continue to support his children. So give that some consideration. Todd, I'm always going to be thinking, oh, man, if Bray Wyatt were here, you could have done this or that, or I wonder what they could have done with him in this situation. And I'll always regret the matches I thought he should have had that he never did.
Oh, you're absolutely right, yeah. Like you said, now Bray Wyatt's gone, they should have. Oh man, this is not easy to explain about Bray Wyatt. Oh boy, like you said, they could.
I wish at some point they would at least. And I know it's not going to happen. It's wishful thinking. But I wish at some point someone would at least release what it was they were going to do. Give the fans that. I want to know what you were going to do. What were your plans for Bray Wyatt? I know you're scrapping them now and you're changing your plans, and we're never going to know. And I don't think that's fair to the fans. I think we should know. I'd like to know. How is he coming back? Who is he going to feud with? Was there a title in his future? What was the storyline going to be? Finish the story. Okay? Bray Wyatt is a bit like an author, and he wrote half the story. I think he'd want you to finish the other half so people could understand what it was that was his vision. So tell us what it was. You have to know. I mean, you can't tell us on television, obviously, but somewhere, someone could say, we're going to explain to you what the future plan for Bray Wyatt was and how this, what this story was supposed to be. Because Bray Wyatt was constantly saying, you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. And I want fans, including the fans who didn't really care for him, to remember one thing. He never treated you like you were idiots. He was one of the very, very, very select few who understood very clearly that you were intelligent. Played to that intelligence with little cryptic things that you'd have to figure out, putting little things in his segments that you could look back on and say, oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah, yeah, that's there. That means this, or this means that. He knew you could figure it out. He knew you weren't idiots. He knew if he engaged you intellectually, he could get you involved. And he succeeded. And I don't know if there was any other wrestlers who've ever done it. I can't think of any. You know, I was racking my brain before I came on the show saying, did Bray Wyatt take, you know, that from something? Yeah, we know that there was, you know, a little bit he took from Dan Spivey's character, Waylon Mercy. We know that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way he engaged the fans intellectually and hid the little things and the little clues and the I don't remember any wrestler ever doing that ever. So I think we've lost something special, Mike, and I don't know if there's ever going to be another one.
I don't know. We speculated that when Dusty Rhodes died, there was never going to be another Dusty Rhodes, right? You know,
yeah.
Because he was another one that was ultra creative, right? Was Dusty. Not quite in the same way that Bray was, but Dusty Rhodes was an ultra creative guy. Now granted, Dusty Rhodes lived a longer life. He ended up, you know, doing what he did and working for the WWE for a long time after he retired. But again, this is they're basically cut out of the same cloth in terms of being creative as Dusty Rhodes and Bray Wyatt. And it started to say, and look, I'll say it again. You know, we were all speculating on what exactly was going to happen when he came back, right? And we were talking about, you know, Alexa Bliss and Boss and Bo Dallas coming back in and possibly Eric Redbeard and maybe even at one point having something to do with his dad, you know, who's still out there, Mike Rotunda, you know, whatever, you know. So we were speculating on what, and here we go. I agree with you. I know they don't want to do this, because it would be giving away trade secrets or whatever, but you definitely need to at least think about releasing what he putting together, you know?
I think so too, because, and not just for the fans, but for him, because it would almost be like an artist saying, I wrote a song, but I didn't release it. And you passed on, maybe it's not going to be perfect. Maybe you're going to redo some things. Maybe you were going to overdub some things. Maybe you're going to change a few things. But it's still your creation. Let's hear what it was. Because those never die. Bray Wyatt's going to be one of those people that 25 years from now, people are still going to be watching segments saying, wow, that guy. they're still going to be bringing up his name. They're still going to be talking about his creativity, just like we're going to be talking about Terry Funk forever and how he paved the way for so much. In a way, they're very, very, very different people, and in a way, they're very similar. Both of them were able to reach you psychologically. Both of them were able to make you believe the unbelievable. And that's the real gift of professional wrestling. I don't care what anybody tells you. The real gift of a professional wrestler is to make the audience believe the unbelievable. Professional wrestling by its very nature is unbelievable. We've discussed this a million times. There's no one in the world strong enough to ram your head into a turnbuckle 10 times. There's no logical reason to whip somebody to the ropes that's hurt and they would turn their back and spring off the ropes. They just either hit it chest first or they'd fall down. There's so many things about wrestling that's illogical and ridiculous and unbelievable. Yet to some degree, every wrestler makes you believe some of it. But when you get guys like Terry Funk and you get guys like Bray Wyatt, Dusty Rhodes, they made you believe it all. They made you believe the most ridiculous, unbelievable things were believable and acceptable. And that's a special gift. And I don't know if you teach that. I don't think so. I just think that's something you are innately born with or whatever. And that's a part of being an entertainer versus being an athlete. You can be both. But most are one or the other. And I just think we lost both. I would hope that at some point the WWE would release at least what their plans were going to be. And I hope tonight on SmackDown, I know you're going to be doing the Terry Funk tribute too. Very tough. Very tough, because no matter what you do, one side or the other is going to say, well, you devoted more time to Terry Funk than Bray Wyatt, you devoted more time to Bray Wyatt than Terry Funk, or you should have done this, or you should have done that. I just hope that you understand that these were two very special people, and we're looking for something special. Even if it's not what your plans really were. Take your plans out of the equation for just a half hour. And make this a special SmackDown. Because you lost two very, very special people. Remember Terry Funk as Chainsaw Charlie? What a crazy, ridiculous gimmick that was. And yet, fans loved it. Fans loved it. Remember when Terry Funk and the Funk family were going to hang Alfred Hayes from the tree on the Funk Ranch? People believed it. And they believed in the cult leader Bray Wyatt. They believed in the Funhouse guy. They believed in the Fiend. And if there's one thing that I guess I'm happy about, is that before this tragic thing happened with Bray Wyatt, he got to do one thing I don't know if he ever did, and that is he got in the ring and said, I'm just going to talk to you as myself. And he did for a few weeks. He said, this is just me. It's not a character, it's just me. And maybe it was. And that probably had to feel pretty good. This has been a horrible week. I know a lot of people wanted me to discuss the big, event in the UK. There's been a lot of changes to the AEW card due to this, that, and the other thing. There's a part of my love for professional wrestling that right now is on hold, I guess. I don't know. I just think that one of the last really creative people I was super interested in is no longer here. So a tiny little bit of my passion for this sport is on hold for this business, I should say, is on hold. I'm going to be watching SmackDown tonight, but not for the reasons I hoped. Anyway, final thoughts, Todd. I mean, this has not been a great week.
Hey, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, my thoughts goes out to my prayers and thoughts goes out to the entire Funk family, and my prayers and thoughts goes out to the whole entire Rotunda and Wyndham family of the passing of the two superstars.
Yeah. You know, there's not much more to say, Mike. It just feels like there was so much of a story yet to be told.
And here's what's sad about this this thing, right? His uncle, Barry, well, several months ago, was in the hospital. They were going to bring him in to do something with him, and he had to go in the hospital for heart issues at Barry Windham.
I know. No. Yeah, I remember Bray Wyatt tweeting about it and everything. Just, got it. You know, what can you say? Anyway, folks, I know this probably wasn't the happy show everybody had hoped it would be or the normal show, but, you know, what can you do under these circumstances? I do invite everybody to go take a look in the WWE shop and pick out your favorite piece of Bray Wyatt merchandise. Proceeds are going to be going to his family. And it's a cool way to say thank you for all of the entertainment. And, of course, also, you know, Terry Funk. What a brilliant, brilliant career. Unmatched, probably. He's a legend, and that legend's not dying, I can tell you that. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back here on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.